I don't see things like this very often, especially around here, and it's a way that I can make my artwork unique. So someone could draw the same thing that I'm embroidering, but it just takes it to a new level. It makes it something totally different, and that's what I love about that. It's very unique.
This is Something from Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. I'm Justin Lewis. This week, an up-and-coming artist named Chloe Quint. Chloe is a fiber artist who is finding her specialty to be in the area of embroidery. If you don't know Chloe, imagine a stereotypical millennial involved in the art scene. You know, tattoos up her right arm, a streak of color in her hair. Not quite the expected look of someone who specializes in embroidery or fiber arts. This week, the story of how this young artist has found her way, the big news that saved her from burnout, and something I thought I'd never say, especially as I'm being recorded, but for the sake of this artist, thank goodness for Walmart. Let's start with how Chloe nearly lost her passion for her work.
Preparing a lot of artwork all at once that was actually hanging in the gallery at Piper's that's in the Coke plant, and it got to the point that I was doing so much so often. I was staying up overnight trying to get everything put together because it does take a long time. Even just a 6-inch embroidery hoop, something like this, takes me something like 30 hours to make. So to get enough pieces to hang on the walls there, I was working pretty much full time after I left my full time job to be able to keep up with that. And I thought, there is no way that I can keep doing this. I'm out of ideas. And I came to the point of almost quitting.
But before she put down the needles, there was a moment, a very special night that reignited her desire to pursue contributing to the fiber art scene. On this particular evening, she recalls her, at that time, boyfriend.
I was out with some friends, and I was home working on this because I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't really, like, doing much social stuff, trying to keep up with custom orders, get ready to hang a gallery, putting things out in Ochre that were going to be sold. I was putting so much time into this, and I was really fed up. I had been crying a lot, obviously, and I was like, there's no way that I can do this anymore. I can't do it.
So there she was, head in hands.
Sobbing on the couch, like, I'm tired of making these, I'm tired of doing this, I'm so mad, I'm so, like, consumed in this all the time, and it was just...
It was just nearly the end of her brief embroidery career, until her significant other came home.
And proposed to me that night. He didn't have a ring or anything. He took some of the scrap cloth that I had been working with and tied it around my finger, and it gave me some inspiration to keep going, to keep creating things, because I had more to look forward to, you know. I had more to work towards, so it was a really beautiful thing, definitely. But yeah, that was the moment that I almost gave up. I gave in. I was ready to quit it, and then that went away.
Definitely went away.
Seems like the ladies listening need to know she wasn't wearing string at our interview. He put a ring on it. Okay, back to the story. Chloe was excited again, and she had also found a niche. But before we get into that, let's back up and hear how she got started.
Well, I had been doing quilting. I had been quilting at home. My grandmother had bought me a sewing machine, so I was able to do that. And I was sort of pressed to think of what ways can I change my style? Can I develop this further other than just piecing together different kinds of fabric? And so I thought, I need to learn a couple new tools, to put in my tool belt. So I was... kind of looking at some inspiration on other people's artwork, looking at what kind of elements they used for things. And I see a lot of embroidery, like you see it every day in things and you don't even realize it. And I started to just kind of pick up more and more where it was and what kind of things you could do with it. So I started looking online at different artwork that people made doing embroidery. And it sort of became something that I thought, if I learned this, this might be something that I really enjoy doing more often, because at that point I was just doing things sort of as a hobby or just for like utilitarian purposes. I needed a quilt to put on my guest room bed, so I made one for that. And then once I started doing it, I just realized it was something that I had totally fallen in love with.
Before she totally fell in love with it, there was the first attempt when Chloe decided she was going to step out there and give it a shot. She wanted to start simple.
From the first time that I did it, I bought a kit at Walmart, I think, that was like a little dog, and you just kind of, you know, it had like the pattern, the outline, it came with your threads already.
And after that experience, she was hooked. She is now skilled enough to be able to look at something and figure it out. But arriving at that point hasn't been easy. The learning process has taken work.
It definitely took a long time to figure out just the little ins and outs of doing sewing and quilting and things like that, because it is very complicated. And it's something that can be really tedious and time consuming. So a lot of patience went into the learning process for sure.
Chloe still has her first piece hanging up in her sewing room. And she said, although it turned out cute, she has not bought any other patterns. She enjoys sketching it out herself. The usual design someone might expect on embroidery is a flower or something dainty, but Chloe likes to be more original and use the freedom of expression. Her inspiration to be willing to think outside the box is a little surprising for this 20-something that looks like she just finished her shift at the local coffee shop, the National Quilt Museum.
I have to say, I've never seen artwork like that before. I don't know what I was expecting the first time that I went there. I guess bed quilts that your grandma has. And it just blew me away. Completely astonishing works of art. People who used fabric and embroidery floss and thread to create really beautiful world-class works of art. People who made landscapes, people who made abstract designs. Of course, you see a lot of mandalas and things like that in quilting, but it just blew me away how much people could do with fabric. And so that's something that has given me a lot of inspiration. You would not even believe the kind of things that you see that people have come up with and been able to do with their sewing machine. I mean, it is definitely not grandma's quilts, for sure. It's something entirely different, and it gives me a lot of inspiration, and it's really beautiful to see the techniques people are coming up with, because it's an ever-evolving art form. I mean, I see new things there all the time that I'm able to think, oh my gosh, I should try something like that. Like, painting directly onto your fabric with watercolor. That's something that I had not thought of doing. I didn't realize you could do that with fabric, but you can, and it gives you exactly the effect that you want. So, very creative art form that is really underappreciated, definitely. But I like being able to intermingle with that community and kind of involve myself with all of the fiber artists that you meet, because they're wonderful people. I've met a lot of really fabulous, kind quilters who will give you any advice that you want. So, next time that there's a quilt show in town, definitely stop and talk to some of the quilters, because they are awesome people.
This willingness to step outside the box helped her find a specialty. She was trying to figure out what to give as a gift for a soon-to-be father-in-law and decided on an embroidery hoop of their home. She saw how this made such an impact on her father-in-law, so she expanded to Paducah Buildings.
There's so many beautiful places around Paducah. The Market House Theater is one that's gorgeous that I had the opportunity to do as a custom order. The Smedley Geyser, of course. All the places downtown. The riverfront. I did one of the flood wall, the big Port of Paducah sign that was really interesting, and got to put the flower beds underneath it, which is so much fun because it's just nice little details that bring it all together and really capture what our town is about, which I love.
And although she is still early in her career, she is already finding a groove with her creative process. I'll end the show with it.
So whenever I think of a new idea for something I'm going to make, I will usually start out drawing it in a sketchbook with an erasable pen. So you can get those kind of fine, clean lines and then erase what doesn't quite work. So I start out by drawing it out all out in my sketchbook, putting it down there and deciding which designs I like the most. And then I will actually use an LED light box that I have to transfer it onto the fabric. So I'll start making my designs by hand. Every now and then I'll create them using Procreate, an app on my phone where I'll draw on that. But typically they're drawn by hand. And then placing the fabric over the top of my drawing and do the light box to trace it all out on the fabric, which can be kind of tedious because your fabric does not stay still. It stretches and it moves when you're trying to work on that. And I use something called a friction pin, where it's an erasable pin, but if you put it on fabric, when you iron it, it disappears. It completely goes away. So all of my designs start out with ink on the fabric. And then I'll start the embroidery process. So on something like a building, I would start by outlining the roof, the edges, the porch, the fence row, things like that, and then filling it in with more details like the bricks, the shutters, the doors, things like that. That usually, the embroidery process takes me something like 20 hours to do that. It's really, really tedious. So I'll kind of create that. I'll add in some more details around the hoop, like some flowers. I'll add some vines, things like that, to kind of fill the space, add it in. Most people who order them, or if I'm making one of a specific building, I'll add in the name of what it is or the address of it. So that takes a little bit of time. And then I always finish them off by using watercolor paint to add in a skyline, some of the sidewalks, maybe just a couple more details here and there, which makes it really unique because you don't see a lot of embroidery pieces that have paint on them as well. So I'll always add those in. And then once I finish it out in the hoop, I hot glue it in. It stays firm in the hoop, and add a hanger on the back. So it'll actually hang directly on the wall inside of the hoop, which is pretty neat. So instead of taking it out and framing it, it gets to stay kind of in the easel that I used for it, to use a painter's term there, which is pretty exciting. So from start to finish, on a more complicated hoop, I spend about 35 hours on it. So it takes a lot of patience, definitely. It's easy to think, I'm never going to finish this, I might as well just give up and do something a little more simple. But when you put the time into it and you make something that's really detailed, you have a lot more attachment to it, and it's something that I can be proud of. When I say that I put a full work week into one piece of art, that's something that I definitely think gives me a lot more pride in my work.
This has been Something From Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. Chloe has a shop on Etsy, and she takes commissions as well. Chloe's on Instagram at Chloe Quint. So is Something From Nothing at Something From Nothing Podcast. This episode was edited by Taylor Inman and produced by me, your host, Justin Lewis. Thanks for listening.